If you search the closets, crawl spaces, basements, and attics of parents of small children, you'll find boxes of clothes that no longer fit and toys that are no longer used. But it's not clutter. It can be life-changing for parents who are having a hard time making ends meet, especially in a time when diapers alone can cost $1,000 a year. I'm WBBM News Radio's Rob Hart, and this week on At Issue, we talk with Yumi Grigsby, Executive Director of Share Our Spare in Chicago, which provides essential items to families in need. Yumi Grigsby, Executive Director of Share Our Spare Chicago, thank you for joining us today on At Issue.
Thank you for having me.
Now, tell us a little bit about the history of the organization.
So Share Our Spare is an organization that exists to provide an essential start in life to children under five. It started about 15 years ago by local moms, and the idea was literally, let's share our spare out of their garage, and it's grown into an essential resource for early childhood for children under five. We served about 35,000 children last year.
Now, is this strictly a Chicago-based organization, or are there affiliates around the country?
So it's a Chicago-based organization. However, there is a network of diaper banks nationally. You know, the need is essentially that there is no real like safety net or federal support for diapers, specifically for diapers. So we're essentially creating this infrastructure and network until society and the systems essentially catch up.
For those of us who are parents and think back on the times when our kids were in diapers, you kind of put the trips to the store out of your mind.
Yes.
You know you did it. You don't remember how much you paid for it. And what's remarkable is looking at all of the research that goes into just how much that first year of childhood really costs.
Yeah.
And that is a number that goes up by the year, even by the month, especially now. And for some parents, that can be an annoyance, that can be a source of irritation. But for some parents, that could force some really difficult decisions about how to spend your money.
Yeah. I mean, if you, I'm not a parent, but I have a lovely niece and nephew that I helped out with. And imagine during the blowout phase, if you had to count how many wipes you were using and how many diapers you were using. So that's the reality for 40% of parents nationally. 40% of families report diaper need. And so that's nearly half. So the idea for us is that it's a scaffolding issue because a lot of daycares won't accept children if they don't have the diaper supply. So that means the parent can't go to work and they have to choose between childcare and essentially going to work. So then that leads to choosing between rent, utilities, and essentially the only place to cut is with the essential items. So that's why we look at essential items being diapers, clothes, books, gear, et cetera. We really focus in on how we connect families to the services that they need while also providing them diapers. So that's why we work with 80 partners to cover all 77 neighborhoods in Chicago.
And what was the aha moment in the history of Share Our Spare? Because it seems like everyone who's a parent is familiar with the, what I like to call the gray market of used stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Clothes that your children have grown out of, toys they no longer use, furniture, changing tables, pack and place, all of that stuff that you don't need anymore because your kids are growing up, they're sitting in a closet somewhere, they're in your garage, they're just taking up space, and then you're just waiting for the next parent of young children or a baby to come along so we can say, okay, take all this stuff,
yeah,
take it out of our house. It's taking up too much room. And so when did, over the course of time, did that very common occurrence become the basis of the organization?
You know, I can't pinpoint the moment because it was 15 years ago, and I'm so grateful to the founding mothers, is what I call them. But I know that we've grown into an essential resource for the Chicagoland area. We have a community of like 4,000 plus volunteers that do essentially that. What we do is we help them to have those donations that would maybe go to family or, you know, go to a donation bin somewhere. We connect them with, you know, what I talked about earlier, 80 partners that are essentially connecting people to healthcare, connecting people to what they, the services that they need anyway, and then also providing diapers. So we expand essentially what the impact will be beyond just our community, but throughout Chicago. So we gave out about 2.5 million diapers, 2.25 million diapers last year. So what does that mean? Where we actually purchase, you know, essential items is for diapers. So we purchase diapers so that we can meet the need. But largely we heavily rely on in-kind donations so that we can have our partners come in and do what we call shopping, but it's free 99. So they not only get, exactly, they not only get diapers, but they also come in, they get gear, they get clothes, they get shoes, et cetera. And so, you know, I can't pinpoint the aha moment, but I do know that with the rising costs, you know, something I found out recently is that most of the materials and diapers are oil-based. So when we limit access to oil and the oil prices go up, even our costs are going up, right? Our where we source our diapers.
It's more than just the gas station.
It's more than just the gas station, which is something I recently found out. But yes, I think I can't pinpoint the aha moment, but I think people know what that need is as it's growing, as we've grown as an organization so that we can continue to expand our impact.
Describe the logistical process. Explain for us the share house, what goes in and how does stuff go out?
So we have donated items. So we ask for gently used items. Those are, you know, clothes, those are shoes. You know, right now we're having a drive called Winter in July. So we're now getting some of those winter items that we'll be giving out later on in the year. You come in, you donate your items, and then from there we have a network of 4,000 plus volunteers come in and sort those items, inspect those items, because it's really important that people are coming and shopping with dignity, right? This is not a handout, this is a hand up, and we're really building an infrastructure is how we look at it. So we don't have individuals coming in, you know, off the street to get the diapers. What we do have is our 80 partners like Metropolitan Family Services or other organizations that will send their partners in on our shopping days. So it's personalization at scale, right? So they already know what their the families they serve need. And so they're coming in to get that specifically, that number of diapers, and to get the gear and everything else that they need. One thing I do want to mention is the fact that we will take an opened box of diapers, right? And so, you know kids sometimes have a growth spurt in the middle of the night and then, you know, the diapers don't fit anymore. So you don't have to get rid of those diapers. You can give them to us. We repackage them, we inspect them, and then we give them out to our partners. So the logistics are really that we are taking in your spare and then through our partners, making sure that we're expanding our impact throughout Chicago.
And then when it comes to the gently used items that are donated, what are some of the typical things that volunteers have to assess?
So, you know, like I said before, like when we talk about toys, or we talk about books, you know, we really want people to have to feel like they're getting something, you know, new that's truly gently used, that it's not a handout, because we really do think these are essential items to start people out, right? And so some examples of things that we won't take used would be car seats. So those have to be, you know, purchased by us for us to give that out.
And there are safety reasons behind that.
Exactly.
I mean, if you just look and you see the there's an expiration date. There's a date in which it was manufactured.
Yes.
And it's got to be inside that window.
Yes. Yes. It's really important to us. And so, you know, we've expanded beyond just like the gear. We have formula that comes in. And so obviously we need to make sure that that stuff is not expired, and that because people really do rely on that. We have a partnership with Brightpoint, and they always talk about how expensive formula is and how there's a need for that. And they really appreciate that.
And then you mentioned a very important word, and that is dignity.
Yeah.
Because if you find yourself making those very difficult economic choices, you could be in a situation where both parents are working. And even then, in this environment, it's not enough.
Exactly. With the rising costs, you know, people really are making decisions between utilities, between rent, And it's hard for them to sometimes make that choice of we have to reuse this diaper, but that means they have to reuse a diaper, which obviously leads to health problems for the children. And we can tell you that 92% of the people that we serve will say that this has helped them save money, that this has helped reduce caregiver stress. But also 88% of them will say that they have increased their program attendance to, you know, like, you know, the different services that they have to go to. So I hope that answers your question in terms of some of the really hard decisions people are making. It's unfathomable to me that I would give my nephew like a diaper that I had already used. But that is essentially the reality for many of the families that we're serving.
And on top of the dignity component, too, is that if you utilize Share Our Spare, it's designed to make you feel good.
Yes.
You are getting clothes that you want that make your kids feel good. It doesn't carry any stigma with it. And you see that all the time.
Yes.
I think going back to going to the pediatrician's office when my kids are very young, some people who were on benefits that were part of the Affordable Care Act, someone would say, this person's on public aid. Yeah. And of course, that just, you know, they don't want to have that flashing sign above their head, whether that was, you know, passed by both houses of Congress or not.
Yes. And that's why we partner with the partners we partner with, right? And so you're going to the doctor, you have diapers there. You know, we have a couple of auxiliary programs that I would love to highlight in terms of partnering with Lurie's Children's Hospital on sleep kits. We partner with Family Connects, which is CDPH, the Chicago Department of Public Health, to provide home visiting kits for new moms. And through our network and through what we have, we're also able to provide items for siblings of those newborns. And so it really is about that idea of, you know, we partner with the agencies that are bringing you the services you need anyway. And so essentially, you're getting the diapers and the essential items along with all of the other services that you're signing up for. So you're not getting the same stigma that is attached to, you know, having to you know, get our services, essentially. But when you think about it, there should be no shame in that. And the
you're just doing the best you can.
Exactly. And you're taking care of your kids, which is what we want you to do. But unfortunately, that infrastructure just doesn't exist right now. And so we're really trying to ensure that the, you know, the goodwill of people and their spares going as far as possible and becoming really part of that infrastructure and institution.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. I'm Rob Hart. We're talking with Yumi Grigsby, Executive Director of Share Our Spare in Chicago, a network of 4,000 volunteers. And you talked a little bit about some of the things they do, but let's just go into all the things that your volunteers do.
Well, I will say this. We are currently a staff of about 10. We're hoping to grow to 13 by the end of this year. But 10 to 13 people alone cannot give out 2.5 million or 2.25 million diapers. So we have our volunteers come in, whether they're corporate groups, you know, CPS classes or, you know, DePaul university classes, et cetera. We will take all of you. We have a robust structure for that. And there are several ways you can help. One is sorting out the clothes that come in. You know, two is inspecting the diapers, repackaging the diapers so that we can give that out, inspecting our toys, and just really ensuring that we have, you know, that the items that we're giving out have that quality, that that they're truly gently used, and then that they're repackaged into different kits, whether it be for specifically for our partners coming in. It can be the repackaged diapers. It can be, you know, the formula. It can be the clothes. What's really important with the clothes, too, is like making sure that they're sorted by size, by season, you know, by gender, by age, so that people are able to come in and get exactly what they need. We recently started getting in, you know, maternity clothes and items for new parents and new caregivers and new moms. And so we have a whole new area that provides, you know, maternity clothing or breast pumps in any way, really, that we can help people, caregivers and their families under five.
And then what's the definition of gently used? We may have talked about this before, but are there specific things that you're looking for that you can say, this is all right versus this doesn't pass muster?
You know, really, I think there's not necessarily like a hard and fast rule. I think that, you know, for the most part, we're looking to make sure there are any holes in the clothes, or there's not, you know, they're not well worn, or, you know, especially with the toys, like all of the elements are there as we're, you know, doing bassinets and other items. We want to make sure that all of the elements are there for you to be able to put that together, because it's not specific. It's not particularly helpful for you to get some gear, but it's missing a wheel, or it's missing a stroller, right? And it's missing a wheel, or it's missing, you know, a handle to be able to push it. So those are some of the items that we look at. I think where it's really important and we look for kind of more specialization in our volunteers is inspecting the diapers specifically and making sure those are, you know, if we're repackaging those diapers, that they're in, you know, the best quality. And then I also talked about, obviously, the car seats. Like, there are some things that we will only take if they're new.
And then when it comes to inspecting the diapers to make, even if, like, let's just say, for example, you have a box and it's a quarter full, you just didn't use it for the aforementioned growth spurt or potty training finally took or what have you, outside of inspecting it for obvious signs of wear and tear, are there certain hygiene standards they need to pass, even if they haven't been used and they've just been sitting in a box, just to make sure that they will be safe for use down the line?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you have to check to make sure there's no, you know, expiration date, obviously. There's no wear and tear that they will hold up. And that's why we really need, we need volunteers who have done this before. You know, the nitty gritty of the volunteering and of the of those standards, you know, I really rely on our team, like our volunteer coordinators and our warehouse coordinators, to make sure that those standards are met. And so it's a combination of making sure that we have a mix of volunteers who are more experienced, and then also have like our staff there to make sure that we're meeting those standards.
It's a lot of volunteers from a number of walks of life, and that's got to be a pretty gratifying experience, not only to be a volunteer, but also just to see all of these people come together.
I think so. We think so. And we, even though I talk about our 4,000 plus network, we always need more volunteers. You know, like I said, we were averaging about 1,000 volunteer hours a month. We have some long-term volunteers that we're very lucky that they continue to support us. They have up to 2,000 volunteer hours just themselves, because they've been coming over the course of, you know, 10 to 15 years, or, you know, less, obviously, since we moved into the share house. But we're always looking for more volunteers. And that's one of the ways that we really want people to help us is, if you have an opportunity, if your, you know, workspace offers that as a possibility to have an impact, if you have a classroom, if you have service hours, you know, we partner with schools that require service hours, we will, you know, we will make room for you to come in and have that group experience. And really, we call it a share house for just that reason, because we want everyone to feel ownership of the space. So we want the volunteers to feel like they belong. We want the partners to come in and feel like they belong. Ourselves, you know, who are on staff permanently, we want to feel, you know, like a part of the space, because it really is a big community.
This has got to be a perspective altering experience for you or for any of the volunteers or the staff, just when it comes to all of the stuff we have in our homes and how much has been just sitting in the dark corner of a closet somewhere or a crawl space or an attic. And just think about all this stuff that we have and how it can be repurposed to be life-changing for someone else. You just don't know how many lives can be affected just by the stuff you have in your own home.
Yes, and I think, you know, a couple of things that I definitely want to talk about is that while I talk about our 82 plus partners that we currently have that we partner with, we have over 100 on the wait list. So that means those are families that are in need that we haven't been able to reach, you know. And so for us, it's not only about the volunteers, it's not only about the donations, but it's also about the financial contributions, sustainable financial contributions, so that we can take those families off of the wait list. And then another thing that you mentioned about, you know, having your gently used items go further is that we're leaning into sustainability, right? Like we're ensuring that if we can't use it, that we're able to connect you with people who either can use it or, you know, make sure that there's a new life and that we're leaning in on sustainability as we move forward.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. I'm Rob Hart. We are talking with Yumi Grigsby, Executive Director of Chicago's Share Our Spare. This organization's been around for 15 years. Of your volunteers, do you have alums come back?
We do. I mean, I think right now I can think about 10 to 20 that I see in the share house every week. And it's almost like, you know, they're also on staff because we build them into, you know, our needs for that week. You know, sometimes we will talk about who's coming in that week because we have very specific needs that we need. And so it goes beyond just coming in and helping us out with sorting. It's also, you know, very specific needs when it comes to like our Family Connects auxiliary program or our Lurie's children's kits to put together, or even, you know, sometimes we need things done around the share house and we'll have, you know, volunteers that can help us out with that. And so we have a core group of volunteers that will come and help us. We have a community council that's, you know, you talked earlier about whether or not it's focused in on the Chicagoland area. A lot of our donations are coming from the suburbs. So we have community councils in the, you know, in the North Shore and the Western suburbs that are really helping us to have volunteers, to have donations, and to make sure that we're maximizing, you know, people's spares throughout.
One of the nice, we talked about the dignity component and that if you need the help, you get the help.
Yes.
There's no stern lesson attached to it.
No.
And what have you heard from people who, when you help them out, what do they say?
So I can say that we do a survey every year. And like I mentioned before, we have 93% that say that the program helped them save money, that it reduced caregiver stress. And so we constantly are looking for data like that so that we're able to talk about the impact that we're having. We have data that shows, you know, that the need is concentrated in the South and West Sides in primarily Black and Brown neighborhoods. And so we know that we're having an impact because we know by zip code where we are, you know, where our partners are and where we're meeting those needs. We're consistently looking at how we're able to take people off of the wait list. As I mentioned earlier, you know, we have an over 100 partners on the wait list that that to us show that there are more people that we need to be reaching. And the only way we can reach them, obviously, are through sustainable financial contributions and then also in-kind donations so that we're able to expand that. I feel like there was more to that question.
Well, let's talk about the wait list. Mm-hmm. Is that wait list longer or shorter by historical standards?
You know, it keeps growing. We do, you know, I can say that in the last year we did take 7 partners off of the wait list. And so we're very proud of that. We're looking, you know, we are looking at different sources of funding and sustainable sources of funding, right? Whether it be individual donations or the corporate foundation or really government funding that really will allow us to take additional numbers off of the wait list because it is it stands at around over 100 right now. And, you know, we really want to lean into that. We are looking for other ways to expand our access. So whether it's, you know, increasing partnerships in terms of having a hub and spoke model where, you know, our share house currently is in Old Irving Park, but our partners and are reporting that they're traveling long distances from the South and West Sides to come to our share house. So we're looking for partners that are willing to partner with us in that way, maybe have some satellite stations in the south and west sides. But at the same time, we have people in the suburbs, our supporters in the suburbs, that are saying we want more donation bins that are closer to us, so that we don't have to travel all the way into Old Irving Park to be able to give, because they want to have that impact. So we're looking at partnerships where we can have more donation bins in other places in the suburbs, in the Chicagoland area, so that we're able to take in more. The partnership, the partner list, the waiting list really does keep me up at night, because I do think that that represents people that we need to reach. But I also think that what that means to me is that it's really important that we are able to continue fulfilling the commitments that we've already made. To the 80 plus partners that we have to make sure that we can consistently provide them with diapers and consistently provide them with essential items as we move forward.
The cost of childcare is a politically potent issue on the federal level, on the state level, on the local level. If you had a couple of minutes to talk to a lawmaker about your experience and use your experience to inform their policymaking, what would you say?
You know, I would bring up several issues, one of them being, taxing diapers. I think that that is adding to the burden that families face, right? Because if you already don't have that safety net and that support to purchase the diapers, and then those products are also taxed, I think that's an added burden. I would talk about the infrastructure that we've been able to build along with the network of diaper banks around the country that are really building out this infrastructure through community. And I would say that if there's any way to, one, have funding for diapers, for families to be able to purchase those diapers. I think, two, if there's any way to provide assistance, government assistance, so that these networks that have essentially built infrastructure out of community to tap into the systems that currently exist to be able to have more of an impact, I think that would be something that I would bring up as well. We have so many champions. You know, Senator Tammy Duckworth recently was a champion for us in terms of finding funding for our organization. So we're incredibly grateful for that. And we're going through that process. And we continue to talk to state, local lawmakers about how we can continue to have an impact in the Chicagoland area and beyond. We are purely nonpartisan, and our only focus is on how do we support the families that need.
And lastly, if you want to volunteer, if you want to donate, or if you need help, where can you go?
So I would say go to our website at shareourspare.org. I would also say, since you said lastly, that we have our gala coming up, our Shared Future Gala on September 17. I would say attend that. And then finally, I would talk about the fact that we have our Winter in July drive that's going to be starting in July. And then we have the gala that I talked about that is going through, that's going to be happening through National Diaper Need Awareness Week. And that's on purpose. So I would say volunteer, donate, come to our gala, support us financially. We will take it all. Go to shareourspare.org.
Yumi Grigsby, Executive Director of Share Our Spare in Chicago. Thank you for joining us this week on At Issue. If you want to hear the program again, you can find it at WBBMNewsRadio.com, the Odyssey app, and the iHeartRadio app. Join us next week for another edition of At Issue. Until then, I'm Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.